Welcome to Deeply Rooted, a web series on mindset. My name is Tony Wisdom, aka Tony Gaines. I've spent over 20 years in the music business as a producer, engineer, label owner, and executive. This show is dedicated to changing the narrative on success. I reached out to the most successful people I know. I want to know what drives them, their greatest mistakes, their best advice, their secrets to success, and how all of that has shaped who they are today. Take a journey with us. So, yep. What's going on, everybody? Deeply Rooted, Season 2, Episode 7, with the fabulous and wonderful Miss Marla Jackson. It's been a crazy ride. We're almost at the end of Season 2. We've had some really powerful, really great conversations, and we're getting ready to have another one. So, thank you for tuning in. If you haven't checked it out, we do have a website right now, thedeeplyrootedshow.com, that has some merch. It has, you can find the podcast, because we do release this in podcast format as well. So without further ado, Miss Marla Jackson, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. It's a special day being here speaking with you.
Well,
you made me proud.
Well, that is an honor, because I remember at one point in time, you know, I was one of your, yes, ma'am. And, you know, I was telling somebody, you know, when I was a little knucklehead teenager, I didn't listen to much, right? But I always listened to you. I didn't play with you, not a little bit. You know,
and I
think it's really more about just how you approach people. And, you know, certain people are just real with you. And that's what I needed. I felt like, you know, a lot of people were conning me and not telling me the truth, you know. And so thank you for that. You definitely had an effect on my life. And you know, teaching me when to snap it together and having confidence in me. So I deeply thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome. You're so welcome. It's just been I look at it as a privilege.
Yeah.
It's the greatest honor. I say serving my community is working with kids, and any way I could do it, you know, it was, you know, I worked 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and when I got the call, I was there. But it was a challenging time, you know. Yeah. When you got teenagers, your own kids, and they're looking at you while you're gone, and so it was challenging.
So what is your professional history? Can we get into that briefly?
Sure. I can tell you, I came to Kansas, I was 18 years old.
Okay.
And I got my first job at Stormont Bell. I went to school. I didn't finish, but I started starting my bell, and I was a diet assistant writer for special diets and dietary. And then they had the prep kitchen, and I didn't last long because I was straight from Detroit. Straight from Detroit. Yeah. Afro, people were a little nervous when they saw me, and they would call me by my first name, and I noticed, you know, so I responded back with their first name, and they called me in the office and told me things are a little bit different. They're about 5 years behind the time. And I told the man, well, do you want me to start tap dancing? Or I'm not sure what you're wanting me to do, but this is my last day. I'm not, you know, you're not gonna call me by my name. You know, I'm not gonna, they wanted me to be on the tray line. I said, no, I'm not hired. That's not in my job description. And they're looking at me, you're just a kid. But I ended up quitting that job and went to Topeka State Hospital.
Okay.
And I was more fitted to work there. It was the maturational unit working with kids. Personally, I felt none of them needed to be there.
Yeah.
And so I was the same age as some of them. And they had the kids with behavioral problems, brushed with a toothbrush, cleaning the floor. And I just felt like, you know, that's not right.
Yeah.
So I just started working with the kids, and they would run away. And I would tell them, well, you need a runaway bag. You need to have pack. You just can't just run away with no money, out hitchhiking. You got money for a phone call for safety, you know, and they just looked at me like, well, maybe we should run. You know, that was just, I'm hooking them up. See, y'all want to go? Okay, sweet. Yeah. How you do it? Then they stopped running. You want to know how to do it? I'll tell you.
Yeah. So after, so coming out of Topeka State Hospital,
I went to Blue Cross and Blue Shield. I worked in Part A and Part B. Okay. Then I went to internal investigation and started investigating doctors for fraud. Found a lot of fraud.
Oh, wow.
And from there, I went back. I went to the Legal Aid Society, and I became a, I was a receptionist when I started, and I was promoted as a paralegal, and they wanted, I was going to Washburn. They were going to help me go to law school, but I got pregnant with my son, Charles, and my husband was a very traditional man, and he didn't want me working, but I'm from Detroit, you know, I got mine and all. So I, you know, kept working there, and the kid, at that particular time, patients didn't have rights. And so I, you know, worked with the VISTA volunteers, telling what wards to go on, you know, what kid to talk to, because there was a lot of abuse going on.
Okay.
And so from there, then I went to the state of Kansas. I was a paraprofessional. I got really sick early on, and I became an image consultant. Not working was an option for me because I had to take care of my babies.
Yeah.
And so I was a single mom for a while, but those kids are mine. So my work, been working with kids. I worked at CLO.
Yeah.
I worked at Cottonwood. I worked, and so I decided, you know, I'm going to start my own business.
Okay.
And I started the Beyond the Book program with gifted kids with disabilities. Some of them could have been autistic. It didn't matter to me what they were. A lot of, some of them were, wanted, you know, was curious about being transsexual. I just had all kind of kids. And they knew they were safe with Miss Marla. They would tell me some things I had never heard of, but they knew Miss Marla was listening to them.
Yep.
You know.
And so, and what are you doing now? You're doing some amazing things in our community
now. Thank you. I tell you. My son came to me and said, there's a young man, Ma. Nobody, he's the toughest person we know, and nobody's never been able to help him. He says, Ma, I swear to God, he's a tough, he's real difficult, Ma. I said, you bringing him to me? I say, worse than you? Worse than you? He just looked at me. I don't know, Ma, he's pretty close. I said, oh, hell. Oh, Jesus, no, please. And so this young man came to see me. I had never seen him before. You knew nothing about him, you know. He just looked familiar to me. But he, I started the Second Chance program.
Okay.
And this young man, you know, he was going to, the judge wouldn't, in Olay, I mean, what was it, Emporia, he didn't want to let him go. And I had a tear in my rotator cuff, and I had just, his lawyer asked me, Marla, I know you can come with the program for him. I said, how much time do I have? He says, a half an hour. And I spoke with the DA, and he said, the judge is the one who wants to keep this going. He says, we just feel that, you know, Lawrence released him and we should take him, you know, and you got a program for him. But I tell you, he, I'm sitting in court. I had a tear in my rotator cuff, and I was in so much pain in that courtroom. And every time that everybody was going to jail that day, when it came to this individual, I was raising my arm and I was moaning. And every time I was groaning, everybody in the court was looking at this judge so he can go. Get this lady. This woman's here supporting this young man in this kind of pain. I'm going to let her go.
That was awesome.
He's done. He is done. A marvelous job.
Wow.
But he tested me. He came to the bunker. He pushed the line, okay?
Wow. So you, that program you came up with within 30 minutes, implemented it, and have been going. How long have you been doing that?
2 years now.
Wow. That's amazing.
I work with, I have two other programs. The Beyond the Book program is for teenagers.
Okay.
And this one lady I met, I says, I don't like girls. I don't work with girls. She said, I'm on probation. I said, I don't want to work with you. I've had enough. She looked up and they all bust out. They laughed so hard. Now, guess who's working with me?
Yeah.
Her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's so good. She is so good. She's a hustler.
Wow.
So my kids come back. I started with this young lady in sixth grade, and I had her to 10th grade. Now she's graduating. We'll be going to Johnson County, and she's my intern. So they come back.
That's amazing. And the last thing I want to talk about, just in terms of your profession, and then we'll get to the interview, but the African-American Quilt Museum.
Yes, sir.
And that's in Lawrence, Kansas.
Well, it's everything now. We have the quilt museum in here. We have all of the technology we here for our shirt making and, you know, heat press and all that's up in here. But it's here. And we're taking images from quilts. I'm part of the National Park Service. So the Underground Railroad, those quilts are putting on cuts, and we're going to be selling those. I'm trying to get inventory we can put on our website to sell. But we're selling a cup of history.
Wow. So just where can people find more information about that?
They can go to Marla Quilts, Inc., Second Chance. Marla Quilts, Inc., secondchance.com.
Okay. Awesome. Okay, so who is Marla Jackson, the person?
Marla Jackson, the person, is an individual that just floats around. I call myself a thug angel.
I love that.
Thug angel.
Almost choked.
It's just some kind of way my heart connects to the hardest and the most difficult, you know, the stubborn. That's me.
Wow.
Marla Jackson has been an advocate. I started advocating for myself at 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I was born. My fist came first. My mother knew it wasn't going to be me. Not this girl. This girl's coming in here as a savant.
Wow.
Knows all this information. Can't put it on paper, but I'm going to teach her ABCs.
Mm.
My mama came across the table with a curtain rod. Bam! That's her teaching.
Oh, wow.
She's going to learn them ABCs. Nobody could understand me. You know, I couldn't do math. And I had this one teacher, you know, that, you know, was trauma. She had a dunce chair. And I had to sit that was my seat.
Mm.
We were having tests, and she would grab me by my arm and humiliate me.
Oh, wow.
And so told me to sit on the dunce chair. And one day, this friend of mine, his name was Joseph Daniels. He had these big old eyes, beautiful eyes. He was so handsome, beautiful guy. And I was looking in his eyes, and he was telling me, Marla Jackson, you don't have to act that way. Tell him who you are, where you came from. And I jumped off that chair, and I told that lady, I'm a proud Negro. We were Negroes then. Mm. Oh, you don't disrespect me.
Yeah.
My grandfather's the reason why you have tenure teaching at Carver School, George Washington Carver School. You're not going to disrespect me.
I know.
I'm a little
right.
Bitty something, you know.
Yeah.
So I, you know, from there, I went to the principal, had a meeting about it, you know. I was all dressed up and lied to my mother, told her I was going to be real good. Could I wear this outfit? You know, my mother fell for it. But I advocated, and so I wanted to be a safety girl, like all of the other proud Negroes up there, my friends who were getting the A's. But I didn't feel at that particular time, you know, if I'm having difficulty, why punish me? And I told her, the problem is with you because you don't know how to teach a person like me. Mm. So it's your difficulty. I'm not going anywhere. I will come after school every single day. She got tired of seeing me.
Mm. Wow.
But it was just, I have pure determination. I believe like no other. You know, if I tell you you can walk, try walking. If you can't, try harder.
I love
you
that. I love Thug Angel. I think that's what I'm going to call you from here on out, the Thug Angel.
Straight. There's a young man that's out of prison, and he got in touch with me. He said, Miss Marla, do those young men know who they're dealing with? I said, not yet. They're figuring it out. He laughed hard. He says, oh, my God, we already know. When you would come up to the school, you know, we knew some teacher was in trouble. Not the kids, teacher.
Uh-oh. Okay, so how do you define success?
I find Like, I feel success is living your dream, doing what you want to do. If you can complete it, there's no failure in my book. This is all learning curve. You know, I never failed in my mind. Absolutely. I was just taking the steps because it was all, everything to me is predestined. You're just getting there. Nobody makes a decision without the creator, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
But I just don't see failure. I see stages, and you know, with me, if I can't get it this way, I'm gonna go get it another way. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna figure it out, you know. And my friends in this community, business friends, they know if Marla Jackson's got a problem, she will knock on your door and just come on in and wait. So you can help me. I'm gonna learn. I'm gonna get it. Just show me. So I'm just, you know, pretty loving. I have a capacity to love beyond most people. Mm-hmm. But I got a line. You cross that line with me, you know you've gone too far.
So that being said, what drives you?
What drives me today, what motivates me are my kids.
Okay.
Kids and my children, you know. I want what drives me is educating, you know, taking in information. I love the history of the Underground Railroad. I love the fantasy and the fairy tale of the Free State. Hmm. So you come to my museum, you're going to get the true story. Hmm. You know, my kids got to do some research. We made a quilt called And Still We Rise, and it was about the sacking of the Lawrence. And they researched, found out there were 7 black people helped burn down Lawrence, Kansas. That's the truth.
Wow.
All documented, you know, Topeka Historical Society. I think what drives me is learning more about me and how can you know you if you don't know where you came from? I'm going to ask you a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Where was the first Black Lives Matter? What year did that take place? The first fight, the first battle about black people.
What year did it take place?
Yeah, and what place? Do you know? The first Black Lives Matter battle?
I do not know. I would think it would be in the 1700s.
1856. I think it was the Battle of Titus, and Lecompton was the first.
Wow.
The first battle.
Wow.
About the Free State.
You know, I have an ancestor.
Hey, can I have someone knocking?
That's
can I just
fine. Yeah.
Just a second. I'm back.
So I was saying, I have an ancestor. I'm not exactly sure. I would say great-great-grandfather that was in the 1st Colored Infantry in Kansas.
Okay.
That was
1st Kansas Colored Troop. You know his name?
I will have to find it. But they just put us in, or put him, or the Colored Infantry, they put him in the Kansas Hall of Fame probably maybe 8-9 years ago. So some of my family went up there for the ceremony and stuff. So,
are you related to Henry Copeland?
I am not sure of his name.
Henry Copeland, he came from Oberlin, Ohio.
Okay.
His brother was Henry Copeland, and he was hung at Harper's Ferry with John Brown. And I was commissioned to make a quilt about the family was at the first church in Oberlin, where the family came coming from North Carolina. They were free.
Yeah. That's great. So I'd like to learn more. I'm coming up there this week, I promise.
Thank you. Yeah, it's not, you know, I'm just pretty laid back, a pretty laid back person. I like research. I'm in isolation a lot.
Yeah.
I like being alone. Mm-hmm. I study on my own. I'm constantly studying. I see 7 years in advance already. Wow. Okay. You come for me, anybody, I already know you're coming, so I'm planning.
So how has a failure or an apparent failure set you up for later success?
Let's see. Well, I call myself Harriet Tubman. I'm on the Underground Railroad. I've been through the Underground Railroad several times.
Okay.
getting ready, running from men, ex-husbands, you know. But I, let's see. I think the major loss, you know, a personal loss, is losing my first son. Mm. Was full term. I lost him, and I lost my son's twin. Mm. Charles's twin had a twin. Wow. And lost twin at 4 months, left the hospital, and I was still pregnant with Charles, but I didn't know. Hmm. And my stomach kept growing, and there was my son. They told me that, you know, he was stillborn. But my kids, you know, my son, you know, he says, you're hanging out, working with all these other people. Well, you want a juvenile? Delinquent, I'm going to show you what one is. So, you know, Charles, he's going to do whatever he wants to do.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, but I love him. I love my kids. So I just can't really, you know, my illness. How dare you? Yeah. How dare you? You know, I have lupus, and it's a struggle. Huh. Nobody knows. I've been down for 3 months.
Wow.
And I had a reaction to my medication, so I can no longer take them anymore. So I'm being reduced from my meds, and it's been a painful experience. Mm. But the doctor told me I wouldn't live to see my son graduate from sixth grade.
Oh, wow.
And I defied it, you know, determined, you know, and you don't decide how much time I got. Another human.
I know
when
that's
you
right.
Determined, you know, I've seen the lights before. Hmm. And I said, God, who's going to take care of my kids? And and I woke up, and here I am. I know why I'm here.
Yeah.
I know my purpose of being here.
God bless. And I'm glad that you're feeling better. And I hope that they get something figured out with your medicine. And
well,
and
we'll see. We'll see. But whatever it is, I'm going to ride till the wheels fall off.
I know that's right. So if you could have one gigantic billboard anywhere with anything on it, what would it say and why? Could be a few words or a paragraph.
The bitch died standing up.
I love that. That is great. Holy moly.
Going nowhere. She's, you know, she gonna die standing up because those kids know Miss Marla was there.
That is.
I say it with me, I'm talking. If I said it, believe me the first time. I meant what I said.
I know.
I would tell my kids. I would promise them. I said, Mom's gonna do this and that, and I said, it may not be today, but you're gonna get it. My kids know I was gonna come through, and I think people who know me, you know, they don't. In the work world, I work so fast. I'm able to gather information and put it together. And, you know, I brought, in 2017, I brought the National African American Quilt Convention. And somebody said, you can't get Faith Ringo. Now, don't challenge Miss Marla. We had Miss Faith Ringo. She is the number one artist, African American quilt artist in the world. In Kenya. She's got 23 honorary degrees.
She is in
New York, and she works with kids as well. And so I won the National African American, I forgot the name of the quilt. I mean, the award, but it was the biggest one I got. You can research. But
okay.
It was unbelievable.
Wow.
Unbelievable. I just did it because I knew how to do it. Wow. I just put it together and done it 4 years in a row now.
Yeah. And, you know, what this has me thinking is, you know, one of the reasons I do this show is to try to show examples of people in our community that a young kid can touch, and you like personify the point that I'm trying to make here. Like you are that, and reaching out to the elders. You know, because I consider you an elder, and I think these generation, like these younger generations, that is so lost. Like we don't. You have so much knowledge and experience that you can share and give. You know, so I just want to say thank you for dedicating your life to service. You know,
thank
and
you.
That's not an easy thing for people to do.
Well, when I see a single mom right now today, because I'm no longer, you know, I'm retired. I'm retired. And right now, I said I would start my own family preservation program. You know, after this pandemic, our Black community has, you know, it's been hard trying to work, trying to educate your kids. You know, I would like to go and what can I do? Yeah. How can I serve you?
Yeah.
What can I do to help you? You know, you lose one kid in custody, they come up for the next one and the next one. And my job, our goal was to do whatever it took to keep the family together. That's and nice. I just took it far beyond. We're gonna work this out. And I work with a lot of different families, you know, and I had a parent call me niggers and everything, and that night called me up and said he had a gun to his head. I said, how can I help you? I said, last time you will talk to me, I was a nigger. Now, what, you're going to kill yourself? You want to call me a nigger? What are we going to do? Mm-hmm. I just kept going like that. He said, well, I didn't put the gun down. I said, oh, you just wanted to talk to Miss Merle. That's all he wanted.
That's a great story.
I mean, so many of them, but I love what I do.
Well, okay, go ahead. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
No, what I was going to, I was just going to go to the next question, but if you still have one. Okay, so what is one of the best or most worthwhile investments you've ever made? Could be an investment of time, energy, money.
Spending the time with my own kids and showing them the ropes about life and how you go about dealing, you know, the best time I've had was with my own kids and other kids, but just, you know, spending my time with them, it was worth it.
Yeah.
And this whole, my whole life has been invested in service. Yeah. I've always had the ability to give back, but I want it back, though.
I know.
I don't give mine away, and I don't put my money in a rusty can or put water in a rusty can and expect, you know, if I feel like you're not going to do your part, I'm not doing mine. I got another kid waiting in line. That's how I look at it. But so that's important, you know, and in my marriage, I've been married for 35 years. A lot of people don't know I'm married, but I am. Got a wonderful husband and invest in time getting to know him. And we're a good balance. We got so much in common. And he was a wonderful stepfather. Wonderful stepfather.
Awesome. Well, hats off to him. I seen him for many years, you know, living out in Pine Tree and him coming in and fixing and working. And I always see him riding his bike.
So he went to KU. He came here from New York and got his degree in geology. And I just thought maybe he was going to, you know, use that. And he says, baby, I like it. He's like, you know, he's just a good man. He cares about what he's still working. He hasn't retired yet.
Yeah,
and that's the people, awesome. You know, people love him, and he loves the people, and he's good at what he does.
Speaking of your kids, Monica's in the chat. She said hi to both of us. So hi, Monica.
Monica, this is for Monica. I'm wearing Alex Williams Kendall hand beading earrings.
Hashtag. Wow.
She's a local artisan. She made these personally for me. So, Monica, you'll know.
Okay. What?
Let me think. When Danielle and Charles came to my first exhibition, they hate my quilts. They hate quilts. I am not even talk about it. They're sick of it. Don't call them. But they showed up. My son was there, and Danny says, okay, I'm going to give you $1,000. Never say that word again to me, okay? She was giving me a donation when she made it like that. You know what I mean? But she, I mean, you know, them, no, they don't care about what I do. They just want me happy. That's the main thing, and that's why I want my kids happy. I support whatever they do. Whatever they do, I support them. Because they all are in the form of a service. They give back. Yes, she does. Those dogs. Do they sacrifice the black dogs? His mom, I got a feeling about them sacrificing those black dogs. So, oh yeah. And they, you know, they're mistreated. And, but Monica, that's just Monica. She feels something about that. So Monica be taking care of these. And she's serious about that. Because they just, people come over, adopt these dogs, take these dogs and just leave them on the streets. And so Monica, Danielle and I were watching Monica. It was like a documentary. She was feeding, I gotta go feed the little urchins, the little wild cats. She's feeding the cats and she's feeding the dogs and her dogs. They, you know, her dogs are really special, man, these dogs. I don't even know, I can't even tell you the name of them, but they're, you know, she's just beautiful. She's so spiritual. She's so beautiful. She's physically beautiful, but her heart is just almost, you know, you just, I don't know, it's just real special. I got some special kids.
Well, really, they have a special mom, so.
I trusted them. I trusted my kids. I didn't care what they did. I just know I gave them right and wrong. I'm giving them an opportunity to go out in the world and experience it.
Yeah. And it seems like she's doing that. She's all the way on the other side of the world. Yeah.
Been there about going on, I think, 13 years.
Yeah.
But she's, I told her at 5 years old that she'll be able to go anywhere in the world and make it. Can you imagine being in a third world country surviving this long?
No, I can't.
Writing her own ticket.
Absolutely. Okay, so in the last 5 years, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
Changing my diet. I lowered my cholesterol just by changing the diet. I can't take the meds, but and I started doing yoga and just breathing, you know, and centering myself. So I'm in transition. I'm trying to decide what I want to do when I grow up right now.
I love that. Yeah.
You know, I've been adult I was a child. I just had the reasoning, yeah. You know, because I got some gifts, you know. I don't think a lot of people hear, but I got a 4.0. Well, hell, I got a C. Okay. Do you know how long it took me to get this C? It may have taken you one time to read it. It took me 25 times. Mm. How dare you put me on punishment for my C? This is my mother. So I was, I don't know if you got to read my bio, but I was, you know, kicked out of a couple of classes. I had all of my major classes taken care of, but the one class, my sewing class and my driver's ed and ice skating class, I was kicked out of. And that dropped my GPA, people.
Yeah.
So the little classes, you don't think at the end of the year, you know, by the time of graduation, it affected me.
Yeah.
Because I could have done better. Could do it. Could do the work.
Hmm. And, you know, that's kind of the education system, too. You know, it's set up really to, in my opinion, to create workers, to create employees. That's what they want to do. They want to create a good workforce. So if you're an independent thinker that rocks the boat, then that's going to be a problem. And you know, I had tons of issues in school, but then I look back and I'm like you, Miss Marla, I just wasn't going for it. You can't just tell me anything and expect me to believe you or you know. So I get it. Which that kind of leads me to the next question. What advice would you give to a smart, driven kid about to enter the real world?
Don't wait for other people to come rescue you. Nobody's coming.
Mm.
Nobody's coming. This is your passion. This is your dream. You invest. You do the research. Don't wait on anybody because they're not going to come. And some people are going to come and they want to take over. So I had to let people know straight up. No, I don't have a degree, but I earned one from the streets, from my father. I know what I'm doing. Don't think for a minute. Don't get it confused. So then Ms. Marla wouldn't let anybody help her. I had a lot of support, but okay, what I need is money. That's what I need.
Yeah.
So, because I wanted, you know, in my program, I just wanted to, you know, in my own thinking, I just wanted to be able to pay the kids because I wanted them to know they had a value. Yeah. And plus, I was on Van Gogh's board, and I learned it is a value. I watched those kids. I was so inspired by her program. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, I'll take a little bit of hers and put my own ice on it, you know, and you always want to take good advice. You don't have to reinvent the wheel, but nobody can take yours.
Yeah.
So that's the main thing.
So do you have a number of what you need?
I want Pete. Okay. I pay my kids. This is the deal. We work 6 hours a week. And I pay them $10 per person. People, I could take more kids if people would adopt a kid for a year. Hmm. Then I got a young lady from Topeka, and she's 17. She just got an award. Hmm. She's going to go into medicine. My kids are brilliant. But yeah. She came down and she's got her own clothing line at 17. Mm. She started, her sister was 5 and I think she was maybe 8. They started their own cleaning business at 5 and 8. Serious business cards.
Wow.
You know, and you know, these are kids I work with early on with this potential. And so I just lucky to be a part of it.
Well, I'll tell you this, Miss Marla, as a deeply rooted community, we're going to adopt a kid. So we just need to figure out what that is. I'm speaking for the entire community.
Because there are babies. I'm talking about those kids went to Central Junior High. I work with your babies.
Yep.
Your kids.
Yes, ma'am.
Marla bought sewing machines for them. I took my whole retirement, believe me, every dime for your babies. My kids are grown. My grandkids don't live here.
Yeah.
So it's not, it's when I see the kids, I see something about me. Cause see, I didn't have that. I had a Girl Scout leader.
Yeah.
And I was loyal. She died 2 years ago, I think. She was 100 years old and still remembered.
Oh, wow.
Still remembered Marla.
Wow.
I left an impression.
Yeah. So in the last 5 years, what have you become better at saying no to as far as distractions, invitations, etc.?
I think my career, I took a year off. I said, no, I'm not going to do anything. The pandemic is here, but I'm rediscovering Marla. I'm finding things. I want to do pottery. You know, I'm always trolling the internet looking for artists to exhibit, you know.
Yeah.
I like those artists on the cusps of greatness,
yes.
You know, and if I got a hand in it, you know, if I know somebody, I'm going to call you and I'm going to tell you, you know, Ms. Martin, it's all based on grants,
mm-hmm.
You know, but I like to seek out some things for Marla.
Yes.
I've learned to say no, you know, I'm going to rest today. No, I don't have to be at the gallery. I just feel like I got to get here, you know. I'm missing out. I got some things. I'm back. I just couldn't do it because I've been sick. I have one of my very good friends. She designed my book, Sankofa, Lessons Learned. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing a commissioned piece. And it's just been a slow process because I keep changing my mind. Mm-hmm. And I should have told her it takes a while for Ms. Marla because I wanted perfection.
Yes.
You know, so... Spencer's got my quilts, got a lot of my quilts they've purchased, and
really?
I'm really happy about that. You guys will be able to take your kids and their grandkids and go visit. And I had a young lady in the community, she's an activist, and her little girl, and I had to go into the Spencer Museum, and they gave her some pieces of my work on a card, you know, and she says, tell her I love her work. I said, bring your baby down, I'll take her. And to me, people say, how you choose your kids. I don't choose them. My heart does. My heart chooses you.
Wow.
I used to go through Central Junior High. The librarian would refer kids, but my kids come back.
That's amazing.
And they all go to college. I got one young lady, I turned into an activist, and she's going to, I hope she goes get into, she can get into any school she chooses, but she wanted to go to school in Chicago, Illinois. Her mother, she was white and Filipino, and she had to walk through Ferguson, Missouri to get home. And the black girls would walk her home after she came from her Catholic school. And so very open for her kids to have that same experience. You know?
Yeah.
That means something to me. Mm. That means something to me.
So beautiful. Okay, so when you feel overwhelmed or unfocused or have lost your focus temporarily, what do you do?
Cuss. You want the truth?
Yeah, I want the truth.
You want the truth, I cuss.
Yeah.
I'll call my daughter, Danielle. She says, can we change the channel? Can we change the channel? I says, okay. And I'll call my son. He'll say, Ma, can we change the channel?
So you just try to get that channel changed. Yeah.
Oh, we got to change the channel.
Yeah.
I got my own issues. I got my own stuff, you know. Like, you know, I came to Kansas and I was looking for a black community because we were all black in our community, you know, my little community, and I couldn't find the black community and I couldn't find any black people because I wasn't around any black people.
Yeah.
And when I moved here and I didn't know a soul in this town.
Wow.
And that was fine with me because I tend to like being inside, creating, working with my kids. I would do a lot of we did a lot of arts and crafts. I enjoyed reading to them. My mother used to read to us. We were up into teenagehood. And my nephews, I think right now, if he's 25 or 26, if he get on my mom's lap right now, she would read to him. But my mom worked at East Heights, and she loved those kids.
Yeah.
She worked at East Heights, and those kids loved my mama. And my mother was something. She loved her black kids. That's one thing for sure.
Have you ever been to Nicodemus?
No, I haven't, but I've heard of it. Yeah. I've heard of our black community, but I would like to have a black community now.
Yeah.
That's my goal. I would like to have some land and show you how successful it can be.
I know.
But it would take other like-minded people. It's not that I'm saying I want to be segregated because I like all people, but I love our culture. And I think we need to come together and keep building this culture and not lose it.
Yes, ma'am.
The different things we do. Just for an example, just, you know, listening to my grandmother, she came from the South, you know, and I know where the slave owner is right now. They turned the plantation into a bed and breakfast. But just listening to her, just our culture, you know, our kids get in trouble, our sons, you know, most black mothers that I know, and pretty much within the culture, if your son is guilty, he committed a murder, mothers don't show up for that. Mm. Black mother, son's in trouble, mama comes through, chances are that baby's innocent. You know your child. People would say, well, Chuck did this. I said, I'll never deny what mine's done because mine will make do anything. I've allowed them to use their own heads, their own minds, and they'll, you know, suffer the consequences of their actions. But you're guilty, mama's not coming, not this one.
Yeah.
And my grandmother would talk about that coming from the South. Oh, no, baby, you don't do nothing wrong. But if you're, you know, a lot of our black boys are being charged, set up in the system we have. I can walk just with my special gifts. I can walk past you and tell you who you are. From energy. Right. From that's energy. Right.
Yes, ma'am.
When you talk about watch the energy you're around, it's more than words.
It is, absolutely. It's everything. And, you know, it took me a while to figure that out. I spent 20 years as a rap producer. And for me, when, you know, at 19, when I, you know, taught myself how to produce and, you know, for me, it was a positive thing. It was taking my attention away from where it used to be, the streets and a bunch of nonsense, right? And right. then, so I taught myself a trade, I taught myself a skill, and I became a professional probably within 3 years. And I had a great career. But then I started realizing that this thing that I had attached this positive, energy to, well, what I spend my actual days doing every day is listening to a bunch of negative music and creating a bunch of negative music. And some of the people that I worked with were really influential. And I realized that, we're actually doing some damage out here. And that realization led me to seek other things, So you're right. It's not just, what you eat, it's what you listen to, what you watch, who you're around, are you being intentional about your energy? Are you doing things to raise your vibrations, to get higher vibrations? Are you blocking low vibrations?
Are you open?
Yes,
are
ma'am.
You open?
And we have choices to do something about all of these things. And I'm just, at 44 years old, I'm just now figuring out what I want to do when I grow up, And in the last couple of weeks, I've decided that the rest of my life is going to be dedicated to service in many different ways. So this is one. And I have, a few other things that I'm going to be getting into, like mindset coaching and things like that. Mm-hmm. So,
I was just thinking, just coming from my background, mm-hmm. I'm uncomfortable I would prefer taking donations from my own people because I believe we can take care of ourselves.
Yes, ma'am.
We are enough in Lawrence, Kansas to come together.
Yes, ma'am.
And have a movement. I have never in my life been in a situation where there's no black leaders in leadership. And decision makers, black judges. How many black judges have they had in Lawrence?
I don't know of any.
How many black prosecuting attorneys? I'm not talking about assistants making that decision. And if not, why not?
Yeah, yes, ma'am.
How many black mayors have we had in Lawrence? See, this is not my community. Yeah. I'm just living in it. I left my community at 18 and tried to develop a community here. But I'm just going to go away. My plans is to go off the grid. Mm-hmm. And I had that experience up in the mountains of Lake George, Colorado. When my kids were little, I got to create. And I was about over 10,000 feet in altitude. It was near Woodland Park and mm-hmm. Cripple Creek. We're 25 miles from Cripple Creek. We would go up there on the mountain on the weekends and then the city. So I just want to be around basically my own people, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No, absolutely not.
I'm just saying I don't like whites or Asian. I didn't want to leave because of the variety, but we need a black community.
Absolutely.
The closest black community I have is Reverend Taylor, Burnell Taylor. Hmm.
So I guess that leads me maybe to this last question. And then after that, I want to leave the floor open to you for anything that you might want to discuss. So this one's kind of fun for me. Do you have a song that you turn to lift you up? Do you have a song that you might consider to be the soundtrack to your life?
Waymaker, Miracle Worker. Promise Keeper, that is my song, Waymaker, just make way.
I love it.
He's there when you don't think he is, just when you're ready to give up. Just like I say, money's low. I don't worry about money.
Yes, ma'am.
I've been a millionaire. Hmm. I saw the damage. I saw the drugs and alcohol. I saw it all, I just want to be, just the ability, just the function, Money is for a purpose, and make sure it's going to a good one because you want it to come back. It may come, like I said, when those kids come back, they graduate from college, I feel like that was a good spend, you know?
Yeah.
That was a good investment.
Yes, ma'am.
But my kids that I work with, right now, can go out and change the world. They can do it.
Yes, ma'am.
Strong. And you're going to be strong when you come up here.
I believe you. How could you not be?
Well, I told them they'd rather be in 23 lockdowns some days coming here with Ms. Merle. It's worse.
Yeah, anything worth doing.
Don't whine to Ms. Merle about what you can't do. Don't.
Yes,
that's
ma'am.
The mistake. Coming here already, ready for change.
Well,
I guarantee.
Well, Ms. Merle, I just want to say, on behalf of myself and the community, thank you for everything that you do, big
thank
and
you.
Small, for
thank
all
you.
Of these years.
It's just not stopping. My daughter asked when I was going to retire. I said, my memorial will be my last day at my funeral. That's my day. I quit. Day
and,
I die.
And you're going to die standing up. I know that's right.
I want to show you my book I wrote.
Okay.
And I want you guys to get it. It's not very cheap. Went all the way. It's a that those ladies represent Sankofa. I interpret them as a bird was paying homage to Aaron Douglas.
Okay, that's beautiful.
So this is a book of history.
Okay.
And a little preview, which you're gonna get of my memoirs. That I've lived a hell of a life.
Yes,
I've had
ma'am.
High, real highs and real lows.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I'm still standing.
So when are the memoirs going to be done?
Well, I got about 13 chapters right now.
Okay.
And I have, you know, been getting my health together because with the pandemic, I missed a lot of doctor's appointments. I've been, you know, checking out and making sure my health is okay. And I'm glad I went because I wasn't okay. But I'm going to be okay.
Okay.
I'm going to hang in there as long as I'm, you know, long as I can keep doing what I'm doing. But I would like to, with our t-shirts and all the things we're creating, we're going to have an open house. And now listen, it's really important. Artists, the artist process. Most people don't see the artist process. I got a lot of cups up here that you'll see my process of all the mistakes. They're for sale.
Okay.
They'll be worth something to you. May not be today. But this valuable today, I get a nice price for my work.
That's good. Well, my partner in crime here at Deeply Rooted is my brother Ron Fowler, and
I know his family too.
Yes, ma'am. And so we will be making an appearance together. And like I said, I'm gonna get my Deeply Rooted community together, and we're gonna figure out what we need to do to adopt a kid. And
thank you.
Definitely start. You know, doing as much promotion as we can when we get an opportunity. So if you have anything coming up or there's any links that you want me to share, please send those over because I got you. Okay?
I will. But I just, you know, we have one kid. She's going to be a doctor.
Wow.
She doesn't want to try to want her. Don't like girls because I was thinking about my daughters and their mouths. I mean, that Monica, oh, Jesus. She was in first grade. She didn't want to be disrespectful, but this is how she sees things.
No comment.
You know what? People say, boy, I didn't know Monica told. It took me 2 weeks to realize Monica told me off. But
yes.
It took me two. I didn't know it for 2 weeks.
Yes, ma'am.
She's got a way with words, that girl.
So, Miss Marla, are there any parting words? Is there anything?
It's just that, you know, I love you guys. Come and see me. Come and help me. Miss Marla's going to be 69 years old.
Yes,
I may not look
at that. Absolutely not.
I'm tired, but I'm not giving up. I need your support.
Okay.
If I worked with you at any point in your life, come and see me.
Yes, ma'am.
Come and see, especially the guys in the Lawrence community. I love you guys.
Yes,
you
ma'am.
Were loved by Miss Marla. Now, you got some tough love.
Yeah. Well, we love you too.
Well, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Well, this has been a great interview, and I thank you for taking your time out to do this.
Thank you.
Like I said, we will be seeing you this week sometime. I'm not exactly sure. We just got to figure out when.
Just call me. Call me. Make sure that I'm here. Yes, I'm normally here at 11 o'clock, and I said the last 2 weeks have been difficult, but okay. I walked to my gallery today, and I'm good.
Well, you have a beautiful rest of your evening, Ms. Marlin.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. Yes. Bye-bye.
Bye.